And also, let me just share that it is because of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ I'm standing here. Because last month, you know, September 1st, I lost my mom. She passed away. She has been suffering for the last 14 years with a very critical heart disease in Bangladesh, and I was very attached to her. And she had been there in the hospital for the 7 days with life support, and she went to be with the Lord on Sunday, that is September 1st, in the morning time. So I was thinking whether should I come to Canada and do the deputation this year. But I was praying to the Lord, and I said that, God, I need to be obedient. And whether it's my emotional problem or anything, and I need to be here, it's your work. So the Lord has brought me here, and please continue to pray for me as I share the word to you this morning. I want to thank especially to Dr. Duke for allowing me to come here and share, because he's the one, he's my friend, and he's also, I like him because he has a very lot of interest in music, especially the Asian music that he always plays. And also want to thank Marianne Stephen and her family, because she's a good host. I like her as my mother. Thank you, Marianne. And once also want to thank this church, because for the long partnership with us, and it's been about like 5 years, they have been helping us. And recently, you have done the Ride and the Refuge. That was very important fundraising for Bangladesh. And I come from a very small country, especially for the new ones. Let me give a brief outline of our country. Bangladesh is a small country which is about just beside India, and it has a population of 160 million people. And out of that population, we as Christians are just less than 1%. And I come from a Muslim country. The work that we lead in Bangladesh started in 1971 under the leadership of my late father, who started the work. We run a lot of ministries in Bangladesh, sharing the gospel to the people of Bangladesh. As we know that we are celebrating Thanksgiving, and this is a Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to request to, again, you know, this will be a little bit of problem, but I would ask you to stand up a little bit if you do that, if you don't feel offended. Would you please raise your hands up and just give a hand of applause to our Lord Jesus Christ, a great hand of applause to us for what he has done in our lives. And just do one thing again. In Bengali, we say, praise the name of Jesus. In simply, we say, Joy Jishu. So do you want to try it with me? Just say, Joy Jishu.
Joy Jishu.
A little bit louder. Joy Jishu.
Joy Jishu.
Joy Jishu.
Joy Jishu.
And then again, just give a hand of applause to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Thank you very much. Well, as I was studying and praying to the Lord and about this day, the Lord gave me some words in my heart, and that's what I'm going to share this morning. And that is about all about Thanksgiving. As you have earlier, you know, we read the scripture in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. I'm going to read this verses again for you, as Marian read it, but I want to read these verses. It's written about a miracle that 10 healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. Then he said to him, Rise and go, your faith has made you well. As I was reading this story and this incident, I found that, you know, there was something special in this story. We have read many times about this incident, this miraculous incident. The first thing that really struck me is that there were lepers. And this leprosy, we know that leprosy is a first century AIDS. In those days, there were no medical facilities. It was difficult for people to go to a hospital. There were no hospitals. It was like an AIDS. It was highly contagious and could be caught merely by touching another person. Since there was no antidote, leprosy would spread throughout one's body, slowly but surely progressing throughout one's body until one died. Because of the horrific nature of this disease and the death it brought, it was seen as the absolute worst thing that God could do to someone. To have it meant as the belief that the victim was in the most horrifying judgment of God. And we see that there were all these lepers, but one of them came back to Jesus and thanked him. As I was reading this incident, this story, I felt that the thing that that leper he did was he stopped. He stopped for a while. While he was going to his hometown, he stopped. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning, as we are celebrating this Thanksgiving service, we are busy with so many things in this world, we forget to stop. God has blessed us in so many ways, in so many different ways. When I come to Canada, I see a lot of blessings in this country. What a beautiful country you have. But sometimes we forget to stop. This leper stopped. And what he did, the second thing that he did, he looked at himself. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we forget to look at ourselves. The blessings, what he has done. Maybe this morning some of you have health problems, but you are still here because of the blessing of God. Some of you are receiving God's daily provision, but we sometimes forget to give thanks to our Lord Jesus. We are going through medical care sometimes, but we are here. It is because of Lord Jesus Christ. We see the beauty of creation. It's all everywhere in this planet. Canada is such a beautiful country, but we sometimes forget to look at this beauty and give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have not been healed of life-threatening diseases, but you have been given life to enjoy. Think about that. God has kept you alive, and you are rejoicing and worshiping the Lord in the temple of God here. As this man stopped, he looked at what he did. He came back to Jesus, and he thanked Jesus. And then he listened to Lord Jesus, what he was trying to tell. And this is the very, very simple thought that I want to mention it to you this morning. Stop, look, and listen. As I was trying to find out what Thanksgiving is all about, you know, in Bangladesh, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving at all. You know, it's a new traditional culture. Second time I'm here in Canada and, you know, having a Thanksgiving Day. This is the second time. What I have seen in my country, there is no Thanksgiving service in our country. But when I was a little young child, I used to go with my dad. And he was a pastor of a big church. And in old days, people from the villages in Bangladesh used to bring their first seasonal crops to the church. And in the morning, you'll see there are many, many green vegetables, like fruits, vegetables are all around. And these people are bringing their first-hand vegetables from their field. What they would do? After the service, my father used to call for an auction. And it was an open for all the members. The highest bidder for the price usually used to get those vegetables and fruits. The money that was used to be collected from the beater goes to the church fund. And the church usually used to go for mission work or helping the poor. And that's from that young time I came to know what is thanking, how we can thank the Lord. And the villagers used to thank. As I was trying to find some of the references from different commentaries, I found that in Thanksgiving in the Greek is called Eucharistia. Eucharistia. The heart of that word is charis, which means grace. So the heart, Eucharist, is grace, and the heart of grace, charis, is the word kario, which means to rejoice. Now it sounds a little bit puzzling, but let me tell you in short. Thanksgiving then means to rejoice in God's presence for blessings freely received from Him. I'm going to repeat it for you. Thanksgiving then means to rejoice in God's presence for blessings freely received for Him. Today we are here to give thanks to the Lord, similar to that leper who came back to Jesus and thanking Jesus for what He has done in his life. Through this message, I want to encourage you that, and I want to let you know that how we can express thankfulness to our God. How we can express it. The first thing that I'm going to share is we can thank God by worshiping and praising. I like the group here. I'm a worship leader in my church back in Bangladesh. And I like to dance, I like to jump, I like to sing. Because why we are worshiping? The first thing, we are worshiping God because what He has done for us. What He has done for us. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, it says that, "And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Wonderful things he has done. Let us worship the Lord. When we worship, let us stop thinking of all the worldly things. Let us just think about for some moment what God has done in our lives. We should worship and praise the Lord for the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says that, "Thanks to be God for his indescribable gift." And that is Jesus Christ. We need to worship Him. We need to praise Him for the eternal life He has given. Friends, are we thinking for a moment as we are stopping ourselves from all these activities? It is not the turkey. It is not the dinner. But it is only thanking the Lord. The second thing is that we can worship and praise our God for what He is doing presently in our lives. In Psalm chapter 68, verse 19, says that, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Everything that He's doing presently, our job, our work, our children, our brothers and sisters in different places, the security that He has given to live, all these things, it's a blessing from God. Look at other nations. It is so open that you come and worship the Lord in such a secure place. Nobody is going to harm you. But in some of the places back in the world, like in our country, there could be threats. But you live in a very, very peaceful world. Praise be to God. We also can thank God for our stewardship. It's very important. God has given us in a week, about 168 hours. How much time we spend within 168 hours by praying and worshiping? I see in my country there is a fast development in technologies. Young generation, they spend time in internet, you know, Facebook and all these things. Always you see people in the car, they just put on their mobiles. They're so busy. They forget to spend time with Jesus by worshiping and praising the Lord. This is time to just be concerned about it. God has given everyone some talents. I feel proud. I feel really proud of the worship team, that you are using your talent for the glory of God. You're giving it to the Lord, and you're using your time effectively for the ministry. With little or no exception, we all bring some kind of income into our households. Do we honor God by giving our income to the church? Are we doing that faithfully? I remember that, you know, in the old days when my father just started the children ministry, the orphanage ministry, as he was sharing in one of the Sundays about fasting and giving to the Lord and giving to the church, the children were there in the church and they realized that they needed to do something. And after my father, you know, completed the service, these children just surrounded him and they said that, "Uncle, we want to do something. Although we are orphans, although we need help, but we can do something for the church and for this orphanage, and through this ministry we can help." And my father was really surprised what they are telling. And all of a sudden one kid came and he said that, "We want to save our meal and we want to fast on Friday. And by sacrificing that meal, we want to collect this savings money and we want to help the poor of our community." And from that day till today, on Friday, from the morning and the afternoon meal, they will sacrifice. And that's how stewardship begins. Dear friends, are we really faithful in that? The third thing that we can do, we thank God by our obedience. By our obedience. Please note, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Sometimes we don't listen to all the commandments, what the Lord is telling you. Sometimes we don't listen to it. As fathers and mothers, you know, our children are sometimes disobedient. And we are also sometimes disobedient to our God. We don't listen. Dear friends, I want to encourage you that obedience is an expression of thanksgiving and worship unto the Lord. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says that, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I was sharing this morning about a short testimony. This year in January, we had a live revival meeting in Bangladesh in an area called Borisal. And it's our second orphanage where it is situated. And there were many people coming from different backgrounds. And our usual service, you know, after the end of the service, we usually go for an altar call and we'll be having healing prayer services for people who have sicknesses. And as we went down the altar, we saw a man, an old man. He was crying and he was bowing his head. He was crying. We went to him and asked, "What's the problem with you?" And he shared that his daughter, who was at her early age, he was playing and he was climbing a tree. And he suddenly fell down and, you know, he was crippled from that moment of time. And he was bedridden for all these years. All the doctors gave medications, treatment, but nothing worked out. And we said, "Where is your daughter? We need to see your daughter." And the man said, "I come from a very far distance. I cannot bring my daughter. But I come in faith. Let us pray. And I believe that Lord Jesus is going to heal my daughter." And you know, we covered him in our prayers and we prayed for him as well as the daughter who was, you know, handicapped and who couldn't get down from his bed. The man went back in faith to his home. The next day, he came back. And after the altar call, it was a three-day prayer meeting, revival prayer meeting. And he jumped up the pulpit and he was testifying that, praise God, you know, people prayed for his daughter. And the miraculous thing is that she can come down from her bed. All these years, she was sleeping, she was doing everything on her bed. And we said that, dear brother, be obedient. We want to see your child, because he had a tea stall. He used to maintain a tea stall. He used to do a little bit of business. And he had a vision that his daughter will go and walk to the tea stall. And we prayed the second day. And the third day, he came back again. And now, what he testified, he said that, praise God. Now the little child who couldn't even come down from the bed, and now he's walking down to the tea stall. Hallelujah. And that's how he was obedient, because he testified what the Lord has done to his life and to his daughter. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it's written, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They have forgotten God. Friends, let us be obedient. What the Lord says you to do, if it is serving, do it. Do it for the glory of God. The fourth thing that we can thank God by, our serving and sharing. I just want to take you to a different parable. It's written in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It's about the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip and tip off his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. I want to pause this here. Here, this he was a rich man. The contrast that I see, similar to this other story, that the miraculous story of the leper who was healed, is that this rich man never stopped. He never stopped at the gate. And he did not realize how this man was suffering, how he was going through this trouble. He never stopped. He never looked at him. And he never looked at the prophet, listened to the prophets. See, he never stopped, he never looked, and he never listened. Dear friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to serve our God by sharing. Every day, God gives us, each of us, dozens of opportunities to worship him by serving others and sharing Christ with them. In John chapter 13, verse 13, it says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he a sent greater than who sent him. Are we giving thanks by serving others? I remember a short testimony. It was, I think, last year, I met this gentleman after a revival meeting. As I shared, he came to me and he was introducing himself. And I said, I don't know you, but he said, I know your father and I know you. And I wanted to know how he came to know my father and myself. And then he said that, you know, I want to testify and to glorify God, I want to give this testimony. When we started this orphanage ministry or this ministry, in the beginning, you know, my father was going, in the Kolhapur area. It's an area in Bangladesh. And as he was walking down the street, he saw a drunkard man. And he was like drunk, and he was screaming, and his wife was there. And he was shouting, this man was shouting at his wife. Because this man, his name was Maria Das. And this man was used to work, you know, in a garbage. He used to be a garbage worker. He used to, you know, take off garbage from the streets and into dump it in a dumping area. And my father was crossing that area, and suddenly this man was shouting with bad words and everything. This man actually is a drunkard and he doesn't care about his family. And the wife was there crying. And my father approached the man and he was actually drunk. He couldn't say a word. But the wife said that, you know, I have a son and he needs attention. Because if he lives in this family, he will never be able to stand on his own feet. And his name was Mr. Dash. And while he was talking, you know, my father had compassionate heart for him. And he said that I'm going to take your son and I want to take him to the orphanage. Will you allow it? And that day, the lady gave her son to my father. And there, my father took the child to the orphanage. He cared for him, nurtured for him. And years went by, he graduated. And very interestingly, that my father and other missionary went to this family, and Mr. Maria Dash, who was a drunkard, and he accepted later, he came to know about the gospel. He came from a Hindu family, and he later gave his life to Jesus. The most interesting thing of this incident is that the man whom I met in the revival meeting was his son, and his name is Pastor Sanjeevi Das. And this little child grew in our orphanage, and now he's working in Bangladesh in CDC. It's a Christian Development Center where they train up pastor, and he met me in a revival meeting. And now his father and he himself is doing ministry to Hindu people. That's how we need to serve, and that's how we need to multiply. As I was going through the scripture and through the Bible, I wanted to find the perfect example of thankfulness. I wanted to find that person. And very interestingly, Jesus Christ is our perfect example of thankfulness. When he multiplied the loaves of bread, he first looked at human heaven and thanked God for the bread. In Luke chapter 9, verse 16. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he thanked God for the answered prayer. In John chapter 11, verse 41, we can see. We also notice that at Last Supper, Jesus thanked God for the bread and wine, which represented his body that was about to die. It is an amazing thing that he would thank God his own death in our behalf. So Jesus Christ is the perfect example of thankfulness. So what ultimately, I want to just make it short, what is the result of thanksgiving? What benefits we get when we thank God? Thanksgiving will first, when we begin to give thanks, our worries, our fears, and murmuring disappears. At this moment, maybe you're in deep trouble. Give thanks to the Lord. Your worries, your pain, your fears will disappear. And all of a sudden, the peace of God, joy, and courage appears, and God is glorified. This morning, I want to encourage you that to give thanksgiving to our Lord. God gives you more blessings to thankful people. May God help us to overflow with thanksgiving always. Friends, that was my message this morning. Let us be encouraged and thank the Lord this morning. And stop, look, and listen to what the Lord says. Amen. Thank you. I would ask Brent Harris to come, and he is going to give a little short message about our organization.
Yeah, so I got a little bit taller of a mic here.